by Kate Young.
Kim Jin-soo!
The header is good. And it's the Thai defender, John Tae-wook. And eventually, Korea have broken the deadlock.
You're listening to the K-League United podcast, proud partner of Football Nation Radio.
Hello, Angaseo. Ryan Walters in the K-League United bunker for a very special edition of the K-League United podcast live tonight. Gentlemen, we definitely should have talked about the suit color we were going for tonight.
Yeah, well, we've only got navy, it turns out. We've all gone for the Paul Neat tie ranking, so I think if 94th minute is watching this, it's going to have a field day when he sees these.
I went with the flat black. You can't go wrong with that. For those listening to the podcast, we suited up because it is the annual K-League United Fan Awards. We made sure that people know that these are fan awards this year that people vote on, because there might have been a time when Matt German was talked about as the defender of the year, even though he just won our vote. But anyway, gentlemen, it is a festive evening. So cheers to you here with me if you're watching along at home. And I don't know if you want to play any kind of drinking game or anything, but I guess anytime Matt says something smug, you could drink and then pass out by the time we're done.
I've also, by the way, boys, tonight, I've also got a cheese platter to pass around the table. A bit of Gouda from the Netherlands.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to say it was from Ulji Luis. You got to tie in that sponsor, man. Yeah.
I'm wearing the exact blue of the badge, though, so I'll take that.
There you go.
Of the K-League United badge. Yeah.
Yeah, so we've got quite a bit to get to here tonight, and I see Scott Whitelock is watching. Scott, I hope that you don't get disappointed at any point in this evening. We'll see how festivities go. We are going to start with the party. We're going to start in K-League 2, because you can't hold K-League 2 down. And actually, if we were true K-League 2 fans, we would be watching Daejeon play right now, but the awards wait for no man and no team, so we wish FC Anyang all the best in that one. Or is that might just be me. But anyway, go get him, Anyang. Anyway, we are going to start in K-League 2, and we're going to go through all of our awards as they have been. In case you didn't know what they were, we've got Newcomer of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year, Defender of the Year, Attacker of the Year. We're going to take a break. Golden Glove, Manager of the Year, MVP, and then we've named our best 11. So we didn't always agree with the fan vote, so we have our own best 11 where we'll kind of hash that out. And as we're going, I think we'll also talk about if that would be our vote for that award as well. So anything else before we just jump into this, gentlemen?
Just to say that it's unseasonably warm in Korea for November, and I'm usually a sweaty lad, but tonight is a warm night in Gimsey.
It's a special
three-piece suite, or whatever you call it. Not a three-piece suite, that's a sofa in it.
I was wondering, like, is this potentially the biggest award ceremony that Kim Jae's ever had?
Yeah, well, there was a fourth grade music concert for my students this afternoon, but I'm not quite sure.
Lex has a request for you to blow more air into the mic, Pete. Thank you, Lex. So nice.
Why is it sounding bluey tonight?
A little bit. Did you say bluey or blowy? Anyway. All right, gentlemen. Here's what this is going to look like for those of you watching live. We have gone for the official awards ceremony in the background there, which these are not. Again, if you're watching live, these are not the official awards, but we had to do it anyway because we love these kind of things. All right. Let's just get into this. Let's see how long we can keep ourselves together here. We are starting with the Newcomer of the Year in K-League 2. And the nominees are Andre Luis from Daejeon Hana Citizen. I wish we had a clip to go to here, but we don't. Mm-hmm. Maxwell Lacoste from FC Anyang, Hernandez from Jeonnam Dragons, and Leandro from Seoul Eland. And I think we could just give this one to Hernandez and we can move on. But no, I wish. Anyway. And the winner is Andre Luis. Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Get those claps going. Get those claps going. All right. I think, you know, for Andre Luiz here, we'll go through some of the stats here for him about why he won this one. I don't really think there was any other choice here. He scored 13 of Dejan's 33 goals as of time of recording, because, again, they are playing quite literally right now. He leads the team in minutes with over 2,100. Over 50% of his shots are hitting the target. 78% passing accuracy as well. Not bad for somebody that's mainly playing up top. He has played a little bit behind as well. But he's got that. He's averaging an interception a match, which is nice for someone in his position. 3 match-winning goals, 8 wins when he scores in a game, 3 draws, and just 2 losses. So if he scores, then Dejan are going to be in pretty good shape. And, I mean, again, the other guys on this list, I think, did well this season. But I think him getting almost 50% of the vote totally makes sense here, given how much he changed Dejan this season.
Yeah, you know, they all would have been deserved recipients. I quite liked Leandro Ribeiro at Sol Eland. I think he's had a very good season, and to see the impact he's had on that Sol team, on quite a young, impressionable Sol team as well, and he's helped drive them into that playoff spot. So I'm quite glad to see that he's come in second. I think he would have also been quite a worthy winner there. But yeah, Andre Luiz, he's come into this league. He's grabbed all the headlines in the K2, and yeah, great addition to the league.
Yeah, Leandro also got my vote, actually, but Andre started off like a house on fire, didn't he? And it seemed like everyone was just talking about him being a K1 player in the K2. He slowed down a bit towards the end. I mean, I know he's only got 2 in his last 10 games, but hopefully for Dejan, he can turn it around again.
Well, we don't talk about that during the awards, though, Pete. We just talk about what he's... No, I'm just kidding. So I think we would all agree that he's the winner for this one, is our vote. Or no, you guys said you voted for Leandro.
Well, we both did. But
was that like a hipster pick, or was that what you actually thought?
There's no hipster
pick. The Michael
Redmond
factor.
All right. Let's move on down the list here. Up next, we have the comeback player of the year. And to go through the nominees, we have Matthew Binns.
Yes, we do. Comeback player of the year, our nominees are Yoo Hyun from Suwon FC, Kong Min Hyun from Jeju United, Ko Kyung Min from Gyeongnam FC, and An Byung Jun from Suwon FC. And the winner is... got an envelope and everything.
Oh, yeah, I do have an envelope.
Can't open the envelope.
Build that tension.
An Byung Jun.
All right, let's talk a little bit about An Byung Jun. I get the feeling that we're going to be talking about him a lot tonight. Matthew, what do you have for the... why was this a comeback year for him? I mean, obviously, everybody knows he had a good year, but why was this a comeback year?
I think it was just the different... I mean, so last year he played 17 games and he scored 8 goals, and that wasn't a bad return for his debut in the K-League. He was injured for a large portion of last season. So there's that to factor in, that he's come back from injury. But it's just the rate that he scored goals. He scored 20 league goals in 25 league appearances, which is quite frankly phenomenal and has helped, push Suwon to where they are, onto the cusp of promotion and return to the top flight. And yeah, he's going to be key in these playoffs to Suwon FC's promotion bid.
Yeah, him and Ishida together have been fantastic. And I mean, if it wasn't for Jeju's strength in depth, then they'd have pushed him closer, I think.
Pete, so you, An Byung Jun, got your vote here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Yoo Hyun was like a sentimental pick, but he didn't play as much nor as well as An Byung Jun. And also, when you got two players from the same team, they're always going to kind of split the vote there. So, yeah, I mean, again, I don't think there's really any argument here for this one. All right, let's move on. Up next, we have the Young Player of the Year award this year, which comes down to Mang Sung-un, from FC Anyang, Lee Yu-hyun from Jeonnam Dragons, loving how many Dragons are in it this year, Lee Sang-min from Seoul Eland, and Lee Dong-rol from Jeju United. And I did forget the first time, but I will say this time, I also have an envelope.
The branded envelope.
And the winner.
Opens at the top.
I
from
definitely,
the bank. You've definitely taken that from an ATM.
Definitely have something in here. And the winner of the 2020 Young Player of the Year award for K-League 2 is Lee Dong-rol, with almost 50% of the vote, 49% of the vote for this one. And I mean, I don't think it's that surprising given the year that Jeju had and given the year that he had. Just his second pro season at the age of 20, and down in K-League 2, not surprising that he got way more minutes this year and did quite well with it. Not least of which because he forced his way into a very good Jeju side that also had Kong Min-hyun, Joo Min-kyu, and Jung Jo-guk competing for minutes up top. Had 5 goals and 3 assists. The other players on this list, I think, are very, very impressive. But I think the season that Jeju had and the contributions that he had, I think, is why he took the fan vote for this one. Matthew, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I personally... I was again eyeing up Lee Sang-min, but I also know that Lee Sang-min is, well, going by our sole Leland columnist Michael Redmond, his opinion on him isn't as high, but Lee Sang-min has, you know, still played well. He's made some large mistakes, but yeah, Lee Dong-yeol, he's had such an influence on that Jeju side.
Pete, who got your vote?
Meng Song-un, actually.
Yeah, actually, so did I.
But Lee Dong-yeol, I think maybe people... I'll have voted for him. Fresh in the mind, he's just scored 2 goals late in the season. And actually, he got subbed off a lot of times. I know we see that a lot with the under-22 players. Mm-hmm. But maybe that influenced the vote, looking at how dominant he was, because he scored 2 in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Recency bias, you know? That'll happen. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Meng Song-un was fantastic for Anyang. And that's a team that didn't necessarily get as much attention this season. But he was part of the U23 team that won in Thailand, and he's just been fantastic, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. But I'm not going to disagree with his vote. I won't go that far. But let's keep it rolling here because, you know, we don't want to run out of time in our own award show here. I do have award music that I will be playing in case things get a little too hairy. But anyway, to talk about the Defender of the Year, Pete Hampshire.
Yeah, our nominees this year are Cho Yumin of Suwon FC, Jung-un of Jeju United, Kim Tae-hyun of Seoul Eland, and Park Chan-young of Jeonnam Dragons. And if anyone has ever worked in education in South Korea, they'll recognize these envelopes, which I have utilized this afternoon. And I'll just... this is a mistake, by the way. It's Defender of the Year, as you can see down here.
Okay. For those watching live, those on the podcast have no idea.
Yeah. The winner of the award is Jung-un of Jeju United.
You printed those things?
Honestly, no lessons got prepared in Gimje. You were <K-League. laughs>
I'm very impressed by that. All right. Tell us a little bit about Jung-un with Jeju, who got 55% of the vote, by the way. This one wasn't even close.
Yeah, back at Jeju from his military service at Gimpo Citizen this year. And Jeju, I know they're playing a league lower, but they've looked much more defensively sound with him at the back. And he's also, this year, he's played in 2 positions. He's played as a fullback and then moved into a central 3 by Nam Kiel. I was reading some of Branko Belan's work on him earlier today. I mean, Branko will love him because he's played in Croatia. So
he's, there you go.
He's Branko's homeboy.
Yeah, I think this one, I expected it to be a little bit closer, to be honest. I thought everybody on this list was quite good. I wonder how much of a recency bias came in here because Jeju went on that ridiculous run to end the season where it seemed like they were never going to lose, and they didn't. You know, they just kept winning, and they won the K2 title. But, I mean, Cho Yumin, I think Suwon's defense has been a little bit underrated this season because of what Ambyung Jun and Masa are doing up top. And then Kim Tae-hyun's also been fantastic for Eland. And obviously, I got a soft spot for Park Chan-young with Jeonnam Dragons, who are one of the best defenses in the league. But Matthew, would you agree with the vote on this one?
Yeah, I think I would. I think Jeju have been defensively sound, and a lot of that comes down to Jung-un. Cho Yumin has always been a favorite of mine. I've nominated him on various podcasts in season past when it comes to these type of shows. But Jung-un, I think he's had quite a big influence at Jeju this season.
Yeah, again, I don't think I would argue against it necessarily, but I did expect this vote to be a little bit closer. Moving on to a vote that I'm not expecting to be close, but we've got the attacker of the year, and we have Suwon FC's Masatoshi Ishida, who's having a tremendous year after moving over from Ansan Greeners, Leandro for Seoul Eland, who was an MVP nominee, Andre Luis, who we've already talked about for Daejeon Hana Citizen, and Ambyung Jun, who we've already talked about for Suwon FC. And let me get my envelope ready again. Not the same envelope. Those of you on the podcast don't know this. So the winner is, no surprises here, it's Ambyung Jun, because it kind of has to be. Ahn Byung-jun this year. He was the runaway Golden Boot winner. He had 20 goals, doubling his former career high of 10, which he got in 2018 when he was over in J2. He has 7 match winners this season, bagged a brace on 4 separate occasions, and he is the league leader in touches in the penalty area with 99, and he has suffered the most fouls in the division, getting his side all sorts of chances, all sorts of different ways. It's not surprising that he has 64% of the vote here, because it just had to be him, in my opinion. The other guys on this list have done fantastic things. Again, Ishida, he's always going to struggle in a vote with his own teammate, but I don't find it surprising that Ahn Byung-jun ran away with this one the way that he did, even though there is a lot of talent on this list. Pete?
Yeah, people who watch more K-League 2 than me this year suggested that Ishida's the...
Oh, you just get one season. Gwangju gets promoted, yeah. And all of a sudden, K-League 2 is not even in your purview.
I've got a feeling I'll be back there after this next season with Gwangju, don't worry. But everyone I speak to is suggesting that Ishida is the best player in the league. I mean, but like you said, you can't complain against someone's goal record of Ahn Byung-jun.
Yeah, no, he's been absolutely fantastic for them. But we are going to take a very quick break. Get your refreshments, get your popcorn ready, because we are going to come back. We're going to wrap up the K-League 2 Awards with the Golden Glove, Manager of the Year, MVP, and then we're going to give our best 11 for K-League 2. We'll be right back.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email KLU at info@kleagueunited.com or tweet at @KLeagueUnited with any questions, comments, or reactions. Or follow us on Facebook to ask directly during one of our live shows.
Welcome back to the K-League United podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, joined by a suddenly very smiley Matthew Binns.
Hello.
What's going on?
A little bit of wine escaped the glass, but I saved it.
Okay. And Pete Hampshire is here all the way from Gimje with the internet working this entire time. Pete, I'm very happy for you down there.
Yeah, I was very surprised actually, because my phone contract's run out, so I've got no backup plan tonight. Wi-Fi goes. I've just left the building. I've left this auspicious occasion and I've gone.
Taking off the winners with you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we don't, not all of us have the fancy printed out award winners. I mean, I guess we should have. But anyway, let's keep this going in K-League 2 with the Golden Glove nominees. And Pete, you've got this one.
Yeah, our 4 nominees in the 2020 Golden Glove are Kim Hyun-kun of Seoul Eland, Oh Sung-hoon of Jeju United, Park Jun-hyuk from Jeonnam Dragons, and Yoo-hyun of Suwon FC. And here is the envelope.
Oh.
With Gimje sticky tape.
Did you get students to make those envelopes, just out of interest?
No. It's been a nice lesson plan, though. The winner is Oh Sung-hoon, if you can still hear me.
All right, so tell us a little bit about why Oh Sung-hoon won this one. He had 54% of the vote, which was a little disappointing for a Jeonnam Dragons fan such as myself, but I'll go into that a little bit later.
Yeah, to answer your question, Matt, no, the kids didn't make those. That was my hard graft there. But Oh Sung-hoon, yeah, he's his 4th K-League club and his first stint in the second division. He had 5 clean sheets in his last 8 to help them seal the title. And let's not forget that Jeju have got a lot of good keepers in their ranks, so he's also kept out Yoon Bo-sang, who's a K-1 goalkeeper in his own right. And
yeah, absolutely.
Can't be looked past either. So Oh Sung-hoon won the award.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to argue against him getting this one, especially I see Dan Croydon's watching here, our Ulsan columnist. I mean, last year when he got shipped out of Ulsan, when they were doing as well as they were and as well as he was, it's quite the gut punch to go down to a relegated side like that. But to play as well as he has in K-League 2 this year, it's a bit of a redemption. So nice to see him get this one. I'm always going to have a little bit of a bias for Park Jun-hyuk, obviously, but... We'll keep it moving because we have our best 11 to talk about that. So up next, Matthew, you're going to be telling us about the Manager of the Year nominees in K2.
Here I am. Manager of the Year 2020, we have Chung Jung-young from Seoul Eland, Kim Do-kyun from Suwon FC, Nam Ki-il from Jeju United, and Seol Ki-hyun from Gyeongnam FC. And the winner for 2020 K-League United Manager of the Year in K2 is... Nam Ki-il from Jeju United.
Yeah, I don't think this one's too surprising. They were the best team in K-League 2. I think he's done this for a while, but I'm trouncing all over your segment here, Matthew. This is actually supposed to be you.
Well, no, I mean, I wasn't really going to add too much. I mean, he's the K-League's Neil Warnock, isn't he? He just keeps getting sides promoted. He did it with Gwangju, and he did it with Songnam, and then forced to resign at Songnam, and he's gone back home to Jeju, and he's just taken them up, first time of asking. He knows how the K-League 2 operates. And he's built a good team at Jeju. He's obviously had the financial backing, but when you look at their run towards the end of the season, 16 games unbeaten on that final straight. And yeah, in the end, it was, I think it was an easy choice for the voters. I think there are some good managers in this pool, though. I think there's been some very good managers in the K-League 2 this season. The work Chung Jun-yong's doing at Seoul Heeland, it's earned him second place there with 24% of the vote. And Kim Do-kyun at Suwon FC, I can't believe he's in third, because given his experience before taking up the Suwon FC role, you know, he's done wonders with Suwon FC. They've got them in second and gunning for promotion. So, yeah, I think four very good managers there, but yeah, Nam-kil was always probably going to come out on top with the way Jeju have been playing.
Yeah, I think that's how this one was always going to go. 46% of the vote, I think, is a little bit surprising here, though. Especially, I thought Seo Ki-hyun did some really good things down in Gyeongnam. For him to only get 9% of the vote, I don't know if that's just because they're a slightly smaller team or what that is, but I like what he's built down there. And yeah, I like the other managers as well. But again, I'll save my bit for the best 11, which is coming up after we talk about the MVP of K-League 2 and the nominees this year. You might recognize these names. Masatoshi Ishida from Suwon FC, Leandro of Seoul Heeland, Baek-sung Dong, somebody we have not talked about yet, but had a tremendous season for Gyeongnam FC, and once again, An Byung-jun. And again, definitely a different envelope. If you're listening to the podcast, that's believable. The winner with a runaway vote. It had to be. I'm not even cutting to myself for the camera because you guys all know where this is going. It's An Byung-jun. 65% of the vote here. And again, that margin, I just don't think that you can really argue against him in this case. We've talked about his goal stats. And again, to me, what stands out is how many match winners he has this year, how many points he's accumulated for Suwon, and how much he's changed that team from what they were in the past. Because Suwon, they've been right on the cusp for a little bit. And they've also had some goal scorers. They had Ibuchinam last year, who was a tremendous goal scorer, and it was a shame to see him leave Korea. But I think what An Byung-jun has done for that team is give them the focal point that they haven't had and has just wreaked havoc on defenses. I mean, again, he was the most fouled in the league. He's got the most touches in the box. So he's always the pest on opposing defenses. And I expect to see that in the K2 playoffs. And again, there's no way that Suwon's as good without him. I mean, obviously, Ishida is an MVP candidate in his own right and definitely deserves to be on here, but I don't think Suwon is challenging a Jeju side as good as this Jeju side was all season if it's not for An Byung-jun. But I am willing to be rebuffed on that one, gentlemen, if either of you have any arguments here.
I was just going to say, if Suwon do win the playoffs, it'll be interesting how he does in the top division, because we've seen players like Felipe take to it easily.
We've seen others maybe not take to it so much. I'm not going to mention any teams. Busan that couldn't come up. Busan. I really wanted Busan to do better. Anyway, all right, let's move on here. And let's talk about our best 11, because again, I don't think MVP is really any surprises there. But our best 11, this is the one that we put together here. And to just run through the team, for those of you listening to the podcast, in net, we have Park Jun-hyuk from the Jeonnam Dragons, Kim Tae-hyun from Seoul Heeland, Jung-un from Jeju United, Park Chan-young from Jeonnam Dragons, and Chae-jun from Gyeongnam FC across the back. Pete, why don't you tell him who's in the midfield?
Yeah, we've got Leandro from Seoul Heeland on the left, Ming Tae-ung from Anyang in the middle, partnered with Ishida of Suwon FC, and then An Hyung-bom on the right from Jeju United.
And up top, Matthew?
Up top, we have a pairing of Andre Luiz from Daejeon Hana Citizen and, of course, our K-League United MVP, An Byung-jun.
And managing this side, we have Suwon FC manager Kim Do-kyun, and that one's different than the fan vote. Again, I just think Nam-kil had a lot to work with in Jeju, and he did a fantastic job. That's not taking away from him, but Suwon has just been this frustrating, up and down, plenty of talent, can't put it together club for years now. Since they dropped back down to K2, they've been that kind of club, and they haven't been this year. and they've been so good this year. And I think, obviously, you've got two MVP candidates. That helps a lot. But I just think Kim Do-kyun's done a fantastic job in a massive step up for him.
Yeah, and for similar reasons, you could have picked the Eland boss, because for years they've been, well, in the bottom half. And you've got to look at the relative budgets as well. I think that's why the Jeju boss hasn't got it, because, I mean, with that kind of squad, you should be winning the league.
Exactly, yeah. So those were the slight disagreements there. Also, Park Joon-hyuk in net over Oh Sung-hoon, just because I think pure shot stopping, he's a little bit better. Oh Sung-hoon commands his box better, but this might have had something to do with the host here. But doesn't matter. A couple of dragons are in there. If you agree, disagree, have any thoughts, questions, or comments, go ahead and get those into the comments as we're going here. We don't have an official mailbag this week. We didn't ask for anything ahead of time because we figured it'd be fun to have you watching along with us. But we are going to take a very quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to do the same thing with K-League One. We'll be right back.
FNR is a revolutionary football-dedicated digital platform, the first of its kind in Australia. It provides a 24/7 live online radio platform experience, podcast hub, and acts as a content provider for TV, radio, and digital. Having reached millions of listeners and football fans since launching, FNR is accessible worldwide via its website or app, providing a platform to discuss, debate, and celebrate the world game. We are your voice of football, FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the K-League United podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, joined by a getting into peak smug levels, Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And the candles burning bright in Gimjay is Pete Hampshire.
Hello.
Gentlemen, that's it for K1, or K2 rather, sorry. We're into K1. I'm actually really impressed with our timing. We managed to get that done in under a half an hour. If we can do that for K1 and get out of here in an hour, I'll be very, very impressed with us on this one. Now that I've said that, there's no way that we do that, but... let's just go ahead and hop into this here because, again, we've got quite a bit to get to. Again, if you're just joining us, the awards are Newcomer of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year, Defender of the Year, Attacker of the Year, Golden Glove, Manager of the Year, MVP, and then we will give our best 11, which, again, if you've got any disagreements, we'd love to hear them. Go ahead and get those into the comments as we're going here. But we're going to get started with this year's Newcomer of the Year. And Pete, the nominees are...
Yes, Newcomer of the Year Award, Modu Barrow of Jeonbuk Hyundai, Gu Sung-yun from Daegu FC, Gustavo, also of Jeonbuk, or Wondu J from Ulsan Hyundai. And we cross live to Gimjay. the nation awaits. The K1 Newcomer.
It was upside down, but that's fine.
It's Gustavo.
Okay, there it is. All right. Well done. Tell us a little bit about why he won this one, Pete.
Well, I feel like there was no real standout candidate.
If your internet doesn't cut out.
For a newcomer of the year, I don't think anyone was going to win this by a long chalk. But I think Gustavo edged it. He basically pushed Jeonbuk over the line. They needed that striker, along with Barrow. I think those two together coming in July helped them. They needed the impetus up front. He got a crucial goal to win the game against Sangju in the 88th minute. And all his goals were recent. It could be that recent factor again.
But Matthew, you obviously watched Gustavo a lot this year. Are you going to agree with the fan vote on this one?
No. I actually think Wondu J should have won it from Ulsan. I think he's been a fantastic signing. Wondu J feels like he's been at Ulsan for ages.
Yes.
So much so that when we were doing the nominations, I was shocked to find out he qualified as a newcomer because he is so young and he just has become core part of that Ulsan team. I do like what Gustavo has brought to Jeonbuk. He is scoring, but even then, I prefer Modu Barrow over Gustavo. And I don't mean that with any ill will to Gustavo. I think he's a great striker, but I think Barrow as well would have been over Gustavo in my books. I think Barrow's influence was key in the title running and obviously quite very key in the penultimate match of the season against Ulsan. But yeah, you know, Gustavo's won it and he's got the goals. He did shake up the league when he arrived in those first few weeks. And yeah, I think people have took to that. But for me, it would have been Wondu J.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. I think Juan Dujay's got to take this because, like you say, it feels like he's been a part of Ulsan for so long because he was so integral to such a good team. They should have won the title last year. They should have won the title this year. And he just stepped in and, you know, no big deal, played in a midfield that was missing 2019 MVP Kim Bok-young, you know, and he just stepped into that role with Yoon Big Aram doing some fantastic work as well. But I mean, yeah, to me, it's got to be Juan Dujay here. And it's nothing against Gustavo. Gustavo and Barrow coming in is what made Jungbook look like Jungbook again this summer. But I don't think Ulsan's as good as they are, even with Junior doing the things that he's done without Juan Dujay in there. But
and if Jungbook didn't have Gustavo coming in this season, then they'd have missed a center forward massively because Cho Ki-sung was struggling being the main man up front on his own every week.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not too upset about it. But I disagree, and that's where we'll leave that one.
He's a worthy nominee, is how I
he's a very worthy nominee. And speaking of nominees, we're going to keep going here. We have the 2020 Comeback Player of the Year, and Matthew, you're going to be talking about this one.
Yes, I am. For the 2020 Comeback Player of the Year, we have the four nominees: Dame Damjanovic from Daegu FC, Han Kyo-won from Jungbook Hyundai Motors, Han Sung-kyu from FC Seoul, and Kang Sang-woo from Pohang Steelers. The winner of the 2020
That's right.
Comeback Player of the Year is Han Kyo-won from Jungbook Hyundai Motors. But yeah, no, Han Kyo-won, I think he's a deserved recipient of this award. He came into the season as third choice. There was a lot of question marks over Jungbook's wingers. Han Kyo-won has been third choice for many a season now. Last season in particular, he had one of his worst seasons with you know, very little return because he was stuck behind Min Son Min and Ricardo Lopez. But with both of them moving to pastures new and Jungbook not really getting in the right replacements, he's found himself top of the pecking order. And what a season he's had. He's had a career year scoring, well, matching his record of 11 goals, but doing it in a far tighter season. And I think his real influence has been seen in the first half of the season. He did score goals into the second half of the season, but luckily had Modo Barrow to kind of take some of the pressure off him for that second half. But that first half of the season when Jungbook really looked ordinary and really looked like Ulsan could probably run away with it, it was Han Kyo-won coming to the rescue time and time again. And I think, therefore, in my opinion, biased opinion, Han Kyo-won is fully deserving of this award.
I don't think I could put anybody above him from this list. Maybe Kang Sang-woo, because he was absolutely fantastic. But Kang Sang-woo hasn't really had a year like he had this year. So that's more of like a breakout year in my mind. He's had good seasons, but not quite like this. And Dayon had a tremendous season for Daegu. Sad to see that that's only going to be a one-year stint. Well, as of right now, who knows if a new contract might be negotiated there. But yeah, Pete, would you agree that this is Han Kyo-won's the right choice?
Yeah, I agree what Ben said about it. The first half of the year, he was particularly impressive. Obviously, I live 20 minutes from the stadium, so I've seen Jungbook plenty this year. And it felt like Han Kyo-won was the only winger who, when he got on the ball, something was going to happen. Until Barrow arrived, it felt like when Han Kyo-won got on the ball, they had a chance of scoring. Han Sung-kyu, I give him a shout out just for the sole reason of he was my choice before the season started in the KLU predictions. So
you'd like credit.
Yeah, take some credit that is on the, I think it's the only one I got semi right. So we'll take that as some credit.
Yeah. We didn't dig those ones up. I don't want to relive that one just yet. I guess we should have had who we thought preseason, but we did that with the table and that was enough of that. Yeah, I remember I had Adriano as the comeback player of the year. Mailed it. Anyway, let's move on. Let's keep going here. Up next, after the comeback player of the year, we have the young player of the year. And this one, this was a tough one. This was a really, really tough one to try to split this vote. Pete, who are the nominees?
We've got Onwon Sang of Gwangju FC, who of course I've seen plenty of, Kim Jin-ya, FC Seoul, Song Min-kyu of Pohang Steelers, and the man in the middle, again, Juan Dujay of Ulsan Hyundai. This piece of paper actually has two winners on it, so okay, the winner is Song Min-kyu of Pohang Steelers.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's not won two awards and I've messed it up.
He got this one. 48% of the vote here, which I was a little surprised by it. Pete, were you surprised by that much of the vote for him?
No, because I think he's an attacking player and people like to vote for attacking players. I know Omron Sang is as well, but he's less in the limelight because he plays for Gwangju, I think.
Matthew, did you agree with this one for Sungmin Kyu?
Yeah, I did. And I think he's been a fantastic season. He's been part of that four-pronged attack at Pohang with Pulisic, Ilyichenko and Palacios. And the four of them combined together, there was something else coming into the end of the season. But even before then, he was still scoring all throughout the season. And for a player so young to be making such a difference, and he wasn't, you know, he was also included in the AFC under-23 squad recently in a friendly, having not featured in the championships earlier this year. And he's now knocking on the door of trying to get into that Tokyo squad. And that's purely because of the season he's had. So for me, Sungmin Kyu for Pohang Steelers, it was always going to be a runaway victory.
And particularly in the early start parts of the season where Pohang needed someone on the wings when Palacios wasn't firing, to have a youngster really come through the ranks at that time, that's what pushed them into third.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not going to argue with him winning this one. I've been so impressed by Wandu Jay. I wanted him to get one of these awards. I just think that he really deserved something there. Kim Jin-yao, poor Kim Jin-yao, was never going to stand a chance in this voting. I thought he had a tremendous season for FC Seoul, but Seoul didn't have a good year, so that was never really going to happen. And Omon Sang, boy, am I happy that Gwangju stayed in K1, because I'm really looking forward to what he can do. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to disagree with the fan vote here. And again, we're going to just keep moving here with the Defender of the Year. And, well, we do have Ulsan yet again. We have Kim Tae-hwan from Ulsan, two from the Pohang Steelers, Ha Chang-rae and Kang Sang-woo, both of the Pohang Steelers. Kang Sang-woo obviously came over after a little bit of time with Sangju Sangmu this season, and Ashurmatov from Gwangju FC. Pete, you must be delighted with how much Gwangju FC there is in these awards this year.
Yeah, did not expect that. It's been interesting to see how many of them are still there come the start of next season.
And the winner, this is for the podcast version. The winner of the award for the 2020 Defender of the Year in the K-League United fan vote is none other than Kim Tae-hwan. This one was close, 39% of the vote, and he barely beat out Kang Sang-woo, had 38% of the vote this time. I think a lot of that is because, like, for me anyway, I think that's because Kim Tae-hwan is a out-and-out defender. Kang Sang-woo really came into his own playing at Sungju Sangmu, playing a lot farther up the field, obviously. With so many teams playing a three-man back line, those wingbacks are vital going both ways. So Kang Sang-woo should be here, in my opinion. I have no problem with him being nominated, but I think Kim Tae-hwan edged him out just because of him being a quote-unquote true defender, I guess. He won nearly 60% of his duels this year, 67 interceptions in all competitions, and he was second in minutes only to goalkeeper Jo Hyun-woo, who's always in net. And he had over 2,100 minutes this year in a shortened season. He's a stalwart back there. Ulsan, you know, we've been frustrated with Ulsan time and again, but you cannot deny that that defense was just absolutely fantastic most of the time this season. And he was a big part of that. And Matthew, I know you've talked a lot about Ulsan, especially recently. And, you know, against Jeonbuk, nothing ever really worked that well for them. But I thought Kim Tae-hwan stepped up this year. He almost won it last year, but ultimately lost to teammate Dave Boultuis. But this year, he takes the fan vote.
Well, he certainly deserves to have been in discussion. And he's an integral part of that Ulsan defense. He's one of the best defenders in the league, and reflected in this result. I do kind of feel sorry for Kang Sang-woo, but then again, I think I would be choosing Kang Sang-woo for his attacking prowess. I don't know whether I'd be choosing Kang. I mean, Kang Sang-woo has been doing well defensively, but Kang Sang-woo's been taking the headlines for his assists, the amount of work he did at Sangju, and the way Pohang stepped up after he arrived back at Pohang. So Kang Sang-woo, I think, would be for his influence and his attacking prowess. But yeah, I think defensively, and did attack, Kim Tae-hwan's good at going forward. Yeah, Kim Tae-hwan, fine.
It's no surprise that the two wing-backs are ahead of the two centre-backs, because that's what stands out, isn't it, when you're looking at what to vote for. I'll have to give a shout-out to Ashurmatov, though, because Park Jin-sop, the boss at Gwangju, he just loves to rotate his defence. I don't know I don't know why he rotates so often, but there must be some reasoning behind it. So Ashurmatov's done well to be a mainstay in that defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, Gwangju kind of fell off at the end of the season there, but they had a really tremendous year, and I think he was a big part of that. So we'll talk about him when we get to the best 11, which is coming up soon. But we're going to take a really quick break after we talk about the attacker of the year. This was another one that I thought was a pretty tough vote. This had Cicina from Daegu FC. I think he's always going to be in this vote as long as he's at Daegu. Felipe in his first season with Gwangju up in K1. Stanislav Ilyachenko of Pohang Steelers and Junior Nagao of Ulsan Hyundai. And I'm not even going to get out the envelope for this one, because I think everybody knows where this is going. The winner of Attacker of the Year with 53% of the vote was Junior Nagao, and it had to be him. I've got Attacker in both divisions here, and for Junior, he scored 26 goals in 27 matches. He had 5 braces and a hat trick, his first hat trick for Ulsan. Best goals to games ratio in K-League history, led the league in shots on target with 51%, touches in the penalty area. He was fourth in headed shot. And he just does it all. Left foot, right foot, headed, diving headers. He just scores every which way, and just such an impressive season from a 33-year-old who's been fantastic for Ulsan since he got there. The other guys in this list, very deserving of being there, but Pete, I don't think we can argue with Junior running away with this one.
Yeah, I always find it hard to vote against Cicina just because I just love watching him play, but I did vote for Junior. You can't argue with the goals, can you? If he'd have played a full regular season, he'd have broken even more records, I'm sure.
I completely reflect what Peter said. I love Cicina. I think that's been widely documented by now. But I think, you know, the season he's had, it has been incredible. And I voted for him as well. You can't vote for anybody else, I don't think, in this. I mean, evidently people have, but 53% of the vote, it's overwhelming evidence that, he's fully deserving of Attacker of the Year.
Yeah, he has to be there. And, well, there are some awards that he will be named in. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the Golden Glove, Manager of the Year, MVP, name our best 11, and we'll answer any questions that come in live. But we'll be right back.
Uji Lewis is your neighborhood British bar and cafe located in the old Jiro district of Seoul. Decorated in old English antiques and furniture for a true homely feel, you can enjoy homemade scones, cakes and afternoon tea during the day, and traditional British favorites like beef stew, English ale and a fine selection of wines at night. Available for private parties or simply an evening out, Uji Lewis is sure to become your favourite neighbourhood pub. Be sure to mention K-League United at the bar during your visit and you'll get 10% off your bill.
Welcome back to the K-League United podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, and I am joined virtually in the Kim Do-hoon bunker by Matthew Binns, who's busy still pouring. And Pete Hampshire.
Okay, I was just going to say, Ryan, thank you for delivering this champagne down to Gimjay, because it's lovely.
Of course. Yeah, nothing but the best for the fan awards here. And we do have a couple of comments coming in on YouTube right now. Someone asking, oh my God, who recorded that ad? That is a local voice actor named Michael Everhard. That is actually his last name. And he did that one for us. And the owner of Uji Lewis asked him to really chew on the words for that one. So that's why that one is so enjoyable. And Matthew, you held it together this time listening to the ad, so good on you.
Yeah, I just enjoy it. It's and I enjoy the restaurant itself, not just the ad. If you think the ad is good, you should go to Uji Lewis. That's my shameless plug.
The espresso martini is also delicious for those listening to the podcast version that couldn't see it. But anyway, let's talk about the Golden Glove this year, Matthew. And there are some familiar names on here that we talk about every year and a couple that we don't necessarily talk about every year.
No. This is the nominees for the 2020 Golden Glove in the K-League 1. We have Cho Hyun-woo from Ulsan Hyundai, Kang Hyun-mu from Pohang Steelers, Kim Yong-kwan from Songnam FC, and Song Bong-kun from Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors. And without further ado, let's jump straight to the winner, shall we? The winner Thank you for your envelope sound effect there, Ryan. mine was actually glued down. I've actually just opened it normally like a human being. But yes, the winner for the 2020 K-League One Golden Glove, as voted for you, the fans, is Songbom Kun from Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors.
Yes. A bit of a break from the norm. A break from the norm on these awards.
A definite break from the norm. And for the last 2 years we've done this show at the end of the season, I've argued that Songbom Kun should have won it over Jo Hyun-woo, and I've brought out some impressive stats to say why. This year, I want to bring out stats to why Jo Hyun-woo probably should have won it over Songbom Kun. But I do really rate Songbom Kun. So let's praise him first before we then bring it into comparison. So, I mean, let's get it right from the start. He's 23 years old. He's joint first for clean sheets this year with 11. And he is still the number one goalkeeper for Jeonbuk. Now, this year was the first time he moved out the under 22 age bracket. So the first two seasons he had at Jeonbuk, there was that kind of excuse, not excuse, but the thought that Jeonbuk were using him mainly to get around the under 22 quota. And when he turned 23, he'd be up against competition for his spot. And he's kept it. And he's kept it rightly so, because some of the work he's done this season, some of his close range saves, some of the stops, and he is also a goalkeeper who likes to catch the ball. I know you love that, Ryan. He does really good work. And I think he was deserving of one of our Golden Glove awards over the past three seasons. I think this season was the first time we saw him shake a little bit. Now, he finished strongly. I think the end of the season, he was just as influential as Cho Hyun-woo was for Ulsan. Songbom Kun was, he had some massive saves to keep Jeonbuk in this title race. But there was about a three-week period in early June, which caught the attention of many people. It was, he had a slight hiccup against Songnam and things like that. But whereas I don't think Cho Hyun-woo had any real hiccups this season. I think Cho Hyun-woo was fairly consistent throughout the board. Cho Hyun-woo stepped up from Daegu to Ulsan to a team that was vying for the title. And he did well. I'd also say that, just to wrap it up, I think Cho Hyun-woo had more shots against him and made more saves, whereas Songbom Kun had fewer. So, but it is Songbom Kun. He's finally won an award, and I think he was deserving of a goalkeeper award at some point. But yeah, this year it might be Jo Hyun-woo in my book.
Pete,
I notice Daniel Croydon has just put in the comments there, who's voting for Kang Hyun-moo? Well, this man here. I've voted for the Pohang keeper because I've watched about 10 Pohang games this season, and every game he's been brilliant. Maybe it's just my luck. Maybe.
See the penalty run up in the FA Cup?
Well, every keeper makes a mistake. They get highlighted, don't they? One mistake. And
oh, no, I meant taking a professional outfielder off of a penalty shootout in the FA Cup when you were like fourth. And then that high kick run up and then missing.
I feel like every time I watched him, maybe he just turns it on when I'm.
Oh, he is fantastic.
Yes. I agree with Songbom Kun, though. Can't argue. He's, the thing is, at Jeonbuk, he's got a top defense in front of him, hasn't he? Where, whereas Kang Hyun-moo is losing defenders, he's lost Kang Sang-woo, and he's made some brilliant saves for me, Kang Hyun-moo. That's why I voted for him.
Yeah, Songbom Kun got my vote this year just because I just think that he's absolutely fantastic, as Matthew just went over there. I do think that we got to give a shout out to Glory, Kim Young-kwan. Without him, Songnam gets relegated. They do. He dipped a little bit here and there throughout the season, but to make the step up from K-League 2, to make the step up from Seoul Eland, where, you know, he was a stalwart of that team, but I think his quality got overlooked so many times because that defense in front of him was just an absolute shambles most of the time, and stepped up to K-League 1 and had a good season this year. So a worthy nominee. I don't think he should win this award over anybody else, but a shout out to Glory there because I thought he had a tremendous season, and hopefully we'll see him back in K-League 1 again next year. But before we, I praised us for getting out of the first half on time. We got 8 minutes. We can do this. We can do this. Manager of the Year, Pete, who are the nominees?
Your nominees are Kim Gi-dong of Pohang Steelers, Kim Tae-wan of Sangju Sangmu, Lee Byung-kun from Daegu FC, and Park Jin-sop of Gwangju FC. And the winner is Kim Gi-dong of Pohang.
I have comments, but I'll leave them. Pete, you're very high on Pohang. That's why I was happy to see that you wanted to take this award. He also won the actual award here. So and Dan Croydon's ready for you in the comments. So why was it Kim Gi-dong?
Oh, actually, I voted for Kim Tae-wan, but I think he's just building a fantastic side, and we'll see that come to fruition next season if they keep all the players together, which is a big caveat. But they're just a perfectly well-balanced side. All areas, I think, if they get a right back, then that's it. I think they're fully set to take on and become title contenders. I honestly don't agree that he's done a better job than Kim Tae-wan this season, because if you look at all the obstacles that he's had to overcome at Sangju, then I feel like he should have won the award this year.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that one in a second. Matthew, any thoughts? Do you agree or disagree here?
I disagree. I also vote for Kim Tae-wan. I think Kim Tae-wan had a fantastic season with Sangju. And for all the difficulties that Sangju went through, I think Kim Gi-dong, he's gone through a little bit of recency bias. I think Pohang had a very good finish to the end of the season. They're bolstered by Kang Sang-woo, as we mentioned earlier. They scored a lot of goals towards the end of the season, but they struggled at the beginning of the year. And they did play well against Jeonbuk and Ulsan in the run-in, but did they play well against them earlier in the season? I believe that Jeonbuk beat them twice. I believe Ulsan beat them twice. They weren't there in the real competitive running. I think Kim Ki-dong has a great team, a nucleus of a team on his hands. I have faith in him to build on it and perform better next season. But I don't think you can put him over Kim Tae-wan. I don't think you can put him over Park Jin-sop, who first season with Gwangju in the top flight gets them into the top half. Yes, I know how many points they got. But he got them in there when it mattered. And even Lee Byung-kun at Daegu FC, he's gone the whole season as caretaker. he never got a formal title. I honestly would say he was third or fourth in my list of these four nominees.
And it's mad that the top two in the league and the FA Cup finalists, and neither of the managers are in there.
I think for me, and let's just get into the awards here, the manager award, because I also voted for Kim Tae-wan, because I think if you've got a military side, you're not choosing your players. You don't get to choose even when they leave. Like, everything's already regimented for you. To finish third, to finish fourth, to be in third for as long as they were, and that's why I was thinking they finished third. They finished fourth. To motivate your players when you know you're getting relegated, and not only to motivate them to play well, but to play at a Champions League level, because that's where Sangju finished. They could have been in the Champions League if they were able to qualify, this and that and the other. I just think that he was absolutely fantastic. Matthew, you got a point here, though.
Well, I was just saying, I don't think it's either motivation or just sheer intimidation. He absolutely strikes the fear of God into me, Kim Tae-wan. But also, I quite like it. Yeah, Kim Tae-wan. Fantastic manager.
Yeah, I think we would agree across the board that he was our manager of the year. I think Kim Gi-dong, I would say that what I like about his Pohang side is that they, very similar on the note of fear, they don't really play with a lot of fear. They don't play overly cautious. They play an attractive brand of football. And for a league that sometimes struggles with that, managers that sometimes struggle with that, I do think that deserves plaudits. I think he's done a tremendous job. He's just not my manager of the year. Like, say, I think for me, he's third or maybe even fourth on this list. And like you were saying, Pete, we don't have Kim Do-hoon because no.
I think he should have still got in. Okay,
this is for the live version. Dan, look into my eyes. No. Anyway, Jose Moraes, I think there's a shout for him to be on here. He did some things that I liked, but it's hard to not do well with Jeonbuk. And I think that the guys that we have on this list, I think they did a lot with a little. And that's why I actually really like this list. Obviously, I'm going to be a little bit biased, but I like what these guys did this year. And I think that they didn't have nearly as much to work with as Kim Do-hoon and Jose Moraes. And to me, that's a more impressive job.
Mm-hmm. He's manager of the people. That's what the people have wanted, is Kim Gi-dong. Yeah.
Well, those that win elections aren't always the best choice, but I'm not talking about this year's elections, by the way, for any of my American.
I was going to say,
nope. Nope, talking about previous elections, but that's for a completely different podcast that I don't get into. This year, I'm quite happy with the way things went in the vote that I participated in back in my country, but we'll talk about that one in a very different podcast that I'm never going to host. Let's move on to the most valuable player. Let's talk about the MVP. I've got my award ballot here. Like, I'm taking this one. Matthew, this is actually yours here. I was so ready for it. I had my fake envelope ready to go.
I feel that this one was handed to me, because of the reaction to the K-League's official victor, which was Son Jun-ho from Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors. But these are voted for by the fans, by the people. Mm-hmm. This is what the fans want to see. And so let's go through it. So we have Stanislav Ilyichenko from Pohang Steelers, Son Jun-ho from Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors, Junior Negrao from Ulsan Hyundai, and Sasina from Daegu FC. And the winner for the 2020 K-League One MVP, as voted for by the people, by the fans, is Son Jun-ho, Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors. It's not a trick. It's not a trick. I mean, I like him. I think he's a very good player. And you can see how narrow the margins were. Son Jun-ho with 41% of the vote. Junior Negrao, the golden boot scorer, the record goals per game ratio striker with 39% of the vote. This is what the people wanted.
We've lost. Scott Whitelock's gone forever. I hope you're happy.
Well, you know, let's talk about why Son Jun-ho has won it and why people vote for him, because he is a good player and he's one of the key players to be watching in this upcoming Champions League. He's one of the key players to be watching this season, and he was a deserved recipient of the MVP award. He was just up against competition that people may have argued were possibly more deserving. Now, I mean, he was forged from Pohang Steel and he moved to Jeonbuk in 2018. And he's been playing well for Jeonbuk, but this season saw him really take over that defensive midfield role with the departure of Shin Yong-min. And in doing so, he's commanded not only the defence behind him, but dictated the tempo of the midfield in front of him. And he's finished 2020 in the top 10 in assists, interceptions, progressive pass. He's got the highest defensive duels in the league. You look at his fellow nominees there and you ask yourself, which of those three other nominees actually challenged Jeonbuk's back line? And in open play anyway, and until the FA Cup, none of them. He was partly responsible for that. That's not a reason to win the award itself, but the influence he had on a team to get them to the title was massive. So that's why people voted for him. That's why people wanted to see him as the MVP. And there are many reasons why people didn't want him to see, and I will throw that to you, Ryan.
Oh, I was just going to say, Clint from the 94th Minute has come in and said, this is why democracy doesn't work. And yeah, Clint's pretty there.
I mean, it was the big green bus I had driving up and down Gwangwam and beeping me on, trying to, with the persuasive banners on the side. But yeah, no, I mean, I like him. I think he's a great player.
I think he's fantastic. But when you've got somebody that gets the best goals to games ratio and does everything that he can to help his team win the league, which is what Junior did this year. Junior did everything he could. Yeah, he went missing at times against Jeonbuk, but so did the whole team because their manager set them up to fail time and time again against Jeonbuk. Kim Do-hoon is the reason that Ulsan lost against Jeonbuk, not Junior. And I think Junior we haven't seen a season like this. Like, it's absurd to me that he's not taking any of the MVP awards here. What more could he do? I just, you know, as Dan said when he was on the podcast recently, what more can Junior do? And I don't know, but
Junior is the best attacker in the league as he won the award. But for me, Jeonbuk don't win the league without Son Jun-ho, so surely that makes him the most valuable player, because without him, they'd have a gap in that midfield. They'd have no one running their legs off. And I know he's on the floor a lot, but he snaps at defenders. He nullifies threats. And I honestly believe that they've got less points without him. Surely that makes him the most valuable player?
I mean, look at elections. People say they vote for one person and they always end up voting for the other secretly, don't they? And I think that's what's happened here. I think people have gone, yeah, Junior's a great player. But we all know people are voting for Sanjane. Brexit means Brexit, right?
That's what people want. That's one of the elections.
I'm laughing and crying as you whine.
All right.
Look, congratulations to him. I genuinely think he's been a great player this season. And as Pete said, I don't think John Book win the title without him. And that kind of influence, it gets you far in these nomination process. But yeah, Junior, he's had a standout year. And I think people want to debate the winner of this award, as they have debated the K-League award. But this is now, you know, a fan vote has given him this, and also judges have given him this at the K-League. I think people see something in it.
Well, we get a vote in the actual awards. We get a vote in these awards. He didn't get my vote in any of those awards. So that's fine. Clint has asked us to stop the count. It's a little late now. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about our best 11. And Matthew, since you're feeling it, why don't you go ahead and go across that back line, including the goalkeeper for us?
Okay, in net we have the safe hands of Song Bom-kun from Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors. Left back we have Kang Sang-woo from Pohang Steelers, followed by Ashmertov from Gwangju FC, Hong Jong-ho from Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors at centre back as well, with Kim Tae-hwan on the right at right back for Ulsan Hyundai.
And in the midfield, Pete.
Yeah, we've got Han Kyo-won on the right. Cezinha of Daegu FC in the middle. He's accompanied by your MVP, as voted for by the fans, Son Jun-ho. And on the left, which is a bit questionable, you know, whether you call him a left midfielder, but Alexander Pelosevic.
He had to fit in there somewhere. We just had to get him in there somewhere because I thought he was absolutely fantastic. Up top, no surprises here. It's Junior Nagrao of Ulsan Hyundai and Ilyachenko of Pohang Steelers. And managing this side, the man that should be manager of the year, it's Kim Tae-hwan. And yeah, this is not a team that I would like to face. This is a team that I think would do pretty well, even with, you know, some players maybe playing out of position a bit. Not too different here, I think. Ashurmatov, like you were saying, Pete, and I knew that he was in the 11 here. I think he deserves a lot of plaudits. Statistically, he had a fantastic season, and Gwangju doesn't finish in the top half if he's not marshalling that back line.
Yeah, because like I said, it changes every week. It's people should honestly go and have a look at it. It's remarkable how often they seem to change the fullbacks in consecutive games for the whole season. And Park Jin-sop did the same in the second division. And I thought surely it will stick to a more rigid first 11, but he's changed it all this season. And Ashurmatov's been key, and I really hope he stays
next year. Absolutely. Matthew, any omissions or surprises in the best 11? I know you helped put this together, but...
I was going to say not really, because, I mean, I did praise Cho Yun-woo a bit when we're doing the goalkeeper award, but actually I still, you know, rate Song Bom-kun highly, and I've rated him there for seasons past, so maybe that bit's up for contention, but no, I mean, that is a fearsome 11 if you were to play that. I mean, it would have been great to see Wondu J fit in somewhere, but where would you fit him in? You can't remove Son Jun-ho, no matter how much you prefer Junior, and you can't remove Cezinha from that 11. Right. So, yeah, Wondu J probably wouldn't have fit in there, but he probably would have been he's first on the sub bench for me. But yeah, good 11.
Yeah, and I think Todd Wiles coming in the comments here saying that Song Min-kyu is a bit unlucky there as well. And yeah, I think he is, and maybe he fits in there a little bit better than Pulisic. But again, Pulisic just had such a season, we had to get him in there. Pete?
Song Min-kyu would also be good if we had to play by the under-22 rules as well, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
Or on one song, get the kids on the wings.
Nah, we're just going to take that. We just need two subs. It's fine. We'll be all right. All right. Well, that is that's the awards, gentlemen. That's it. We're finished. That's the best 11. That's the MVP as voted by you, the people.
Deserved recipient, anyway.
Yeah, that's the way that it's always going to be. All right. Well, we had a bit of fun here tonight. And if you enjoy the show and you'd like to get more involved, then you can get involved with us on Patreon. Matthew, do you have the Patreon rundown with you?
If you are interested in, well, extra additional content and you want to support us, you can find us at patreon.com/KLeagueUnited. We have regular exclusive pieces, pieces with statistics and opinion pieces. We also have full mix zone interviews when that was a thing, but we also have full interviews. And you can follow us on Patreon for as well. Tiers start at $1, $3, and $5.
Yeah, we don't have mix zone anymore, but especially with ACL up and running, we are going to be trying to talk to as many players over in Doha as we can to get their opinion on what's going on over there, because this is a very strange experience. This is not what ACL is usually like. So we will be doing our best to get them onto the podcast, but we don't always have full time for that. So if you'd like to hear the full interview, those will be available on Patreon. And speaking of listening to us, if you'd like to listen to this podcast live, you can do so every Thursday on Football Nation Radio down in Australia. And if you leave a review wherever you download your podcasts, then you will be entered into this month's K-League kit contest, which is for the away kit for Kimbo Kyung, the white kit that Matthew got with Kim Jin-soo and cursed him. So Matthew, next year, please get a Sun Jun-ho kit for us all, if you would. And we'll see how that one goes. But anyway, for Pete Hampshire and Matthew Binns, I'm Ryan Walters. Thanks so much for watching, and get out the vote for Junior next time. We'll see you next week.
Kim Shin-woo.